As humans, we are made for connection. There's not a single one of us who does not yearn in some way for true, healthy, and flourishing relationships in our lives. And yet, this is the one thing we struggle with the most, namely connection with others. The theme of our relationship or connection with others, or what we like to call love for others, is one of the core themes in the gospel. There's probably nothing else that has such a great influence in a person's life as your relationship with other people. Relationships can set you free and help you to be the best version of yourself, or they can limit and inhibit you. Relationships are also dynamic entities that change all the time. Relationships is constantly going through seasons, and therefore it's essential that we learn to deal with our relationships in a discerning way. The theme on which this sermon series is based is true love does not rust. This statement, in isolation, assumes that true love exists independently and is untouchable. That's not true at all. The love between people can be strong, but also very vulnerable and fragile. And here, of course, we're not only talking about romantic love, but about any intentional relationship or connection between people. It's not self-evident that true love does not rust. And today we say to each other, true love doesn't rust when it discerns. We must be careful to think that religious people's relationships are always comfortable and easy, or exempt from damage. Humans are only humans, and our brokenness easily spills over into our relationships, although none of us want to be known for our broken relationships. The fact that the parties in a relationship are followers of Jesus does not mean that the personalities get along or that the relationship patterns are healthy. I suspect that part of us as believers' dilemma is that we no longer really understand what the word love means. The world, Netflix, Hollywood, and social media have actually plunged us into a love crisis, because what is dished up to us as love is almost a disgustingly sweet and dangerous concoction. The word love, in all its forms, would rather be a collective term for certain qualities that a person can display, which are in harmony with who God is. And God's kind of love is definitely not so-called pink or romantic. In the Bible, we find different direct and indirect explanations for what love is. But the kind of love that we are invited to by God is the kind of love that exemplifies the mind or the consciousness of Christ. I say this with great caution and respect, but two popular Christian beliefs, which are the root of many evils amongst us, are that one must sacrifice yourself and that one should just love all people. It is possible that we translate with just love everyone is actually a very dangerous and unhealthy way to maintain extremely unhealthy relationship patterns, by which we actually try to shy away from healthy, life-giving, and necessary corrections in relationships that might initially appear as cruel or loveless. I'm afraid that this distorted, even unevangelical thought of unconditional sacrifice of oneself, combined with the pink blanket of love, which can actually cover many evils, is a dangerously slippery slope, which eventually can lead to devastating mudslides and lead to a lot of abuse and exploitation in the Christian ranks. Conscious relationships is only possible where all parties embrace sacrificial living in all different ways. What do I mean? Sacrificial living does not mean that we have to be doormats who can be abused and exploited. Nor does it mean that some people in relationships are the servants scrambling to exist so that they barely know who they are, while others are the sultan who's being served by the servants with bunches of grapes on velvet cushions. This idea, which we still often get in our society, is an extremely unhealthy and unbiblical idea of the abuse of power in relationships, and certainly not how God dreams about love between people. Sacrificial living is also not putting other people first all the time and losing yourself and then considering it a good Christian virtue, with the result that one can't understand why you have ended up with so much accumulated grudges and bitterness. Gentle and empathetic people, both women and men, easily fall into this pitfall. Sacrificial living does not mean that some people can be dominated or exploited by others. Sacrificial living is definitely not about me doing everyone's dirty work and voluntarily allowing myself to be exploited, while in the meantime, I'm actually just enabling someone else not to take on their rightful responsibility in a household or relationship. In fact, this is not sacrificial living at all. Sacrificial living is a very delicate process where I don't deny myself as a person and where I don't necessarily sacrifice myself when I just allow people to treat me with disrespect and then keep quiet about it. Sacrificial living demands that I will do what needs to be done and say what needs to be said to serve the best interests of everyone in the relationship, and that includes myself. Sacrificial living asks that I notice the agendas of my ego and not cause so much damage by manipulative means. Sacrificial living means that I will notice the subtle ways in which I do not take responsibility for myself, enable people to behave unhealthy, take responsibility where I really shouldn't, leading to me being the cause of unhealthy trends in my relationship. That I will see where I am manipulating or playing the victim or seeking scapegoats and using all sorts of other clever ego tricks to actually try to retain the most power and control in a relationship. Sacrificial living implies that I will see where I try to play other people and see how self-centered those agendas really are, but then choose not to act according to those ego plans. Some of our ego tricks are blatant. Other ego tricks are much more insidious, underhand and disguised. And it is these tendencies that I should sacrifice. You are not living in a sacrificial way when only one person's agenda is served and the other just bites the bullet all the time. In the world, they are givers and takers. The biblical model for our relationships is two givers. Where this does not happen, it's like a car whose wheels have not been aligned, and over time that car is headed for disaster. Where all parties in a relationship doesn't learn what it really means to sacrifice oneself, one actually ensures that love eventually rusts. In today's theme, we say true love cannot rust if there is distinction and discernment. But can love rust? Definitely. Something that has rusted has deteriorated to such an extent that the intrinsic quality is no longer what it was before. When something rusts, it becomes stuck, immobile, and rigid. This is unfortunately what happens often in our relationships. It does rust. Often we do not understand what it's actually asked of us as believers in our relationships, resulting in not dealing with our relationships consciously and taking it for granted. If we don't look after our relationships with intentional and mindful care, basically let it lie outside in the rain, it will eventually rust. And the moment it starts to rust, it takes a lot of work to reverse that process again. The more something rusts, the more the structural integrity of the item is impaired. The only way to prevent something from rusting is to take care of it. And today we say that we prevent love from rusting as children of God when we learn to discern in our relationships. So what does discernment look like in relationships? One gets different forms of discernment, but one of the most central themes of discernment is always close observation and reflection. Discernment is supposed to bring me to a halt every now and then. Margaret Blackie says, discernment is the art of noticing the subtle movements of the heart. Henry Nouwen writes, discernment is not once and for all decision-making at critical points in one's life, like, should I take this job? Who should I marry? Where should I live and work? But a lifelong commitment to remember God, Memoria Dei, know who you are, and pay close attention to what the Spirit is saying today. Philippians 1, verse 9 to 10, the scripture that we are reading today, helps us to understand something about this. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. Paul speaks of a very specific form of love here in Philippians, namely that we will grow in understanding and in knowledge of life and each other, in depth and insight, that we will develop an even finer sensitivity and understanding for life and other people. And why is it necessary? So that we can know, can discern, can understand how God wants us to act and live. So how can discernment keep love from rusting? And what does rust-proof love look like? In Philippians 2, verse 1 to 5, Paul says that people with this kind of love is like-minded, sharing the same idea of love, being one in heart and spirit, of one mind, with one pursuit. In such a love, the parties involved dream the same dream of wholehearted, flourishing people living a beautiful life. And then the most important part of the verse, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. And then the touching verse 5, in your relationship with another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. This is not asked of only one of the parties, but of all the parties. What underlies this kind of love? Two things, respect and reciprocity. Contrary to what we think, love is not the starting point of our relationships. Respect is. No form of love is possible where there's no respect. We have another word for this kind of respect in English, namely reverence, a holy kind of respect through which we bring glory to God in the way I treat you and you treat me. And then, of course, reciprocity that says, as I do to you, so you do to me, like a dance, where each accept equal responsibility for ourselves and for the relationship. Where there's respect and reciprocity, it's impossible to exploit or abuse each other. And we always put the best interests of the other and the relationship first. Where relationships are characterized by respect and reciprocity, we create a life-giving space for each other and experience something of heaven on earth, because both of us are sacrificing ourselves and our agendas in equal measure. So what's the first aspect of discernment in our relationships? Respect and reciprocity. This is the very first way to make sure that love does not rust. A second way to discern in relationships is to learn to be sincere, but at the same time also careful, mindful. Learn not to be so naive or gullible. When one has a soft and good heart, one tends to think that all people are like that. That's unfortunately not true. This is not even fully true of yourself. Most people do not have bad intentions, but we all have egos, and this causes even good people to sometimes behave in harmful or unhealthy ways. When I'm around people, it's my work, my job to make sure I'm not gullibly gobbling up everything I'm being served. It's my responsibility to make sure that certain necessary boundaries are in place, which will not turn me into easy bait in my naivety. This is probably exactly what Jesus is referring to when he speaks to his disciples in Matthew 10, verse 16, and says, "I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on guard." Jesus says, not everyone has the same intentions and motives. This does not mean that I have to withdraw myself from the world out of fear for people, as many of us indeed do when we are hurt in relationships, but rather that I'm equipped to be secure in myself, regardless of the person I'm dealing with. Living with an open and sensitive heart is essential for us as God's children. But if we don't know how to take care of what is precious in ourselves, we stand the chance that our sensitive soul could be trampled by an often heartless world. Sincere as doves, cautious as snakes. So what does it look like when we are sincere as doves and cautious as snakes? In the first place, we should learn not to blindly think that everyone has the same principles as you have. Do not be naive. Secondly, it's part of a mature faith to be aware of your own and others' agendas and motives and constantly ask, what's really happening here? And then learn how to maintain yourself in situations where you realize that people's intentions or motives may not be what you would hope they are. Naive gullibility can turn you into your own worst enemy. If you don't cultivate this attitude, you easily fall prey to your own gullible, soft, or naive heart. And eventually, after being hurt over and over again, you live armored behind a concrete wall because you could never learn to be aware and interact in safe and appropriate ways, even among less safe people. And this brings me to the third component of discernment in relationships, namely seeing things for what they really are. One of the most important qualities of discernment is that it teaches us to ask, what is really happening in my life? Many believers live with a greater or lesser degree of cognitive dissonance. This means that I cognitively tell myself one thing, while in reality something else is actually happening right in front of me. Living with discernment teaches me to ask the question, what is actually going on in my life? And what is God trying to tell me? How is God trying to lead me? The more we see reality for what it is, we realize that God meets us there, whether it's a pretty picture or not. If we see reality for what it is, we begin to distinguish what really matters, and we grow in understanding, wisdom and experience, intuitivity, sensitivity and a deeper understanding. To grow in these qualities is, of course, nothing else than to become a wise person or a sage. And this is what our society desperately needs, wise people. Our aim in life should be to live from a deeper and more conscious understanding of love that can weather the test of time. Therefore, we must make it a priority to grow in our ability to discern, to have respect, to live with reciprocity, to not be gullible and naive, see things for what they really are, and grow in the consciousness of Christ and true sacrificial living. May we be brave enough to learn to live with this kind of discernment so that the opportunity for true, healthy, thriving love in our lives becomes a reality. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you that you give us this hopeful example of what it means to truly love, to live as people who are able to discern in wise ways, to learn how to respect each other and how to live in a reciprocal way, to learn what it implies to live a sacrificial life, to also learn not to be naive people, but to learn how we can give ourselves to the people around us in such a way that we can thrive and that the love that you give to us as a gift won't rust in the weather of life. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the presence of the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us to live more discerning lives. Amen.